Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are a wonderful church in Rancho Cucamonga. We've been worshiping live in person. If you'd like to come and join us, we invite you to come up. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and see our services, see our online opportunities. If you don't have a home church, we would love to help you find a church. It's time to come back and be a church. Since Easter, we've been looking at the first words that Jesus spoke after his resurrection from the dead. A few weeks ago, we looked at Matthew 28, 16 to 20, the Great Commission. Today, we'll come back to those words again, but I want to talk about a passage in when Jesus heard the first words of his mother. I read a few wonderful quotes about mothers. Washington Irving said, "A mother is the truest friend we have when trials heavy and sudden fall upon us, when adversity takes the place of prosperity, when friends desert us, when trouble thickens around us. Still will she cling to us and endeavor by her kind precepts and counsels to dissipate the clouds of darkness and cause peace to return to our hearts." Washington Irving. Mitch Albom, who is a wonderful author, wrote, "Behind all your stories is always your mother's story, because hers is where yours begin." Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." George Washington said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." I wonder if I asked you to write a sentence or two about your mother, or one who has been like a mother to you, what would you say? My grandmother raised me. I called her Nanny. She was a wonderful, godly woman. She gave me the influence of Christ, but she also gave me just a wonderful ethic of love and teaching. Before we begin, let's go to God's Word. Let us turn to God's Word and listen to what God has to say to us today. Before we do, let us come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, God of heaven and earth, we come humbly seeking to hear your voice. Speak to us. May our hearts and minds be open to your living word. Amen. Grab your Bible. We're going to be in John chapter 2, 1 through 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Canaan in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This is the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Canaan in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. In Isaiah 9:6, we have a description of Jesus the Messiah. We are told that the government will be on his shoulders. We are told that Jesus is the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Talk about a powerful passage filled with hope. Who here would like to have Jesus as your counselor? Jesus is a wonderful counselor. Do you know that our parents or moms or people like mothers to us can give or have given us some pretty awesome counsel? I recently came across a list of great advice we get from our moms on the internet. Here are just a few. If you open it, close it. If you turn it on, turn it off. If you take it out, put it back. If you empty it, fill it. If you fill it, empty it. Make sure you always have your own money. Do not take a bath when there's a thunderstorm. Do not eat yellow snow. Now, I grew up in Illinois, and I heard that a lot from my mom. Do not never ride a motorcycle. My parents wouldn't let me have a motorcycle, even though I bought one when I got to be 16. Put on clean underwear. Wash behind your ears. Brush your teeth. Do not run with scissors in your hand. Do not swim on a full stomach. The late Irma Bombeck once wrote, "When your mother asks you if you want a piece of advice, it is just a formality. It does not matter if you answer yes or no. You're going to get it anyway." So let's look at John chapter 2 for a moment. This is the first miracle that Jesus would perform. We could spend a lot of time looking at the miracle and what it means in the light of Jesus. Have you ever stopped to think about those servants at the wedding? They get advice from Jesus' mom. Do you notice that they didn't ask for it, but they got it anyway? And I'm so glad they did, because it really is the best advice any mother ever gave. In the New American Standard Bible translation, it is seven little words. Whatever he says, you do it. In our reading today from the NIV, it's five words. Do whatever he tells you. In the original Greek, it is six words, and when translated literally into Greek, it is whatever he tells you, do. I would like to take a few moments today and take a look at those six or five or seven, however your Bible translates it, those words. This advice here is probably the best advice any mother could give. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Think of the word whatever. I know many have used that as a slang when asked to do something. Whatever. You've heard that before, whatever, and shrug their shoulders and walk away. When I was pastoring in Texas, some of my friends there knew that they had this little saying, to it, I'll get around to it. It was short for I'll get around to it, but they would just say to it, to it. I finally one day asked my friend, what does to it mean? And he smiled. He says, well, it's part of I'll get around to it. But he says it absolutely means nothing. I'll get around to it. Mary tells the servants, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Not to it. Do it. Have you ever thought of the scope, the scale, the possibilities, the potential, the prospect, the options and opportunities of whatever? In the Greek, the word whatever is actually three words translated into one word. It is a relative pronoun that means anyone, anything, who, what, whoever, whichever, and whatever. This is an all-inclusive word that says whatever, whenever, whoever, anyone, or anything. This is the same word used when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in the middle of the night in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16 is, that's the same word Jesus spoke to the woman at the well in John 4. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become to them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. John 4:14. Maybe a good so what right now is whatever, whatever. You've heard that said all the time. But it's whatever is Jesus asking you to do. That's your so what question. Maybe you're going to stop listening right now. Maybe, I hope you don't. But whatever is Jesus asking you to do? Did you notice that the servants did exactly what Mary told them to do? They did not hesitate. They did not make excuses or look for someone else to do the work. They did not ask, why me? They did not say, this sounds kind of crazy to take these stone jars and fill them with water. We need to remember that there have been no miracles done by Jesus yet. This is the first miracle. The blind have not been given their sight. The lame and paralyzed have not been healed. The lepers have not been made clean. There has been no multiplication of fish and bread to feed thousands. There's been no walking on water or storm stilled. No demon possession or deliverance. These people have not seen any resurrection from the dead. Not one miracle. But here we are at a family wedding celebration. Do whatever he tells you to do. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. We're talking about whatever. Whatever is Jesus asking you to do? Mary tells the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. These humble servants were asking to just simply obey. But what a strange request. There's no wine, but go and fill these 6 stone jars that hold 20 to 30 gallons up to the brim with water. Did you know that 1 gallon of water weighs 8.34 pounds? Let's just call it 8 pounds. 1 gallon weighs 8 pounds. Let's do a little quick math. 20 gallons of water at 8 pounds would weigh 166.8 pounds, roughly 167 pounds. Do you see? These servants were asked to carry 167 pounds. Now, if they were, it says they were 20 to 30 gallons. Let's just do 30. Let's go big. You know, go big or go home. So there's 30 gallons. That'd be 250 pounds. Mary says, do whatever he tells you to do. Jesus says, go fill the jars to the brim. 250 pounds. That means they were asked to carry, now there's 6 of them, 1,500 pounds of water. Can you imagine what these servants were being asked to do? Now, if you were asked to go carry 1,500 pounds, what would you do? But if you think about it, this is the first time God had given an unusual instruction. Go back. It's not the first time, I meant to say. It's not the first time that God, you know, said, go do something that's really unusual. God, go back to Moses, who tells the people to put the blood of the lamb on the doorway. Or Naaman, when Elisha came and he told, Elisha told him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Joshua told the priest to take up the Ark of the Covenant and step into the Jordan at flood stage. Joshua was instructed to march around the walls of Jericho for 6 days without making a noise, without shouting or making a sound. Then on the 7th day, walk around the city 7 times, and on the last time, shout and blow your trumpet. Rahab was asked to hang a scarlet rope out of her window so that her and her household would be saved. To be honest with you, none of these things would have made any sense to anyone. Truly, it's the same way today. We are called to obey whatever. We're called to obey whatever Jesus tells us, even no matter how unusual it may seem. Do whatever he tells you. He tells is one of the verbs in this sentence. And of course, I always say, look at the verbs. The verbs are the action words. It's the present active verb, meaning in the Greek, the action is continuous and never ending. So Jesus is continually speaking. Jesus has not stopped speaking, friends. Have we stopped listening? Yeah, I'm pausing for a minute. See, I don't believe that the Bible has stopped speaking. I don't believe that God has stopped speaking. I don't believe that Jesus has stopped speaking. Have we stopped listening? Notice that he is Jesus. Jesus is the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Jesus is our Savior, and we are called to trust him for forgiveness and eternal life. Why do we not trust and obey our Savior in the little things? In 1988, Nike found a secret in three simple words: just do it. And do it they did. The idea promoted their idea that there were no excuses to life, just do it. The truth is, those Nike advertisers could be accused of plagiarism. You see, their slogan is not original. It didn't originate in 1988. In fact, it originated in John chapter 2, when Mary, the mother of Jesus, gave the best advice any mother could ever give. Whatever he says to you, just do it. Wow, that's just like Nike. Today's message suggests that we learn to listen to what Jesus is asking us to do and just do it. I would suggest that we learn to listen. Well, listen to our mothers if your mother is still alive. Listen to those who have been like mothers. Listen to those that are giving advice. In Proverbs 31, it talks about a godly woman, a wife or a woman of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies, diamonds, gold, silver, emerald, sapphire, garnets, pearls, you name it. A godly woman is worth more. It goes on, it's found in Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. It's a wonderful depiction or story of a godly wife. She watches over the affairs of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband and her family also, and they praise her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her her reward. She has earned it, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Growing up, I'm sure we all have heard some wonderful words of wisdom from our mothers or those who have been like mothers to us. Here are a few personal ones. I mentioned earlier, my grandmother raised me. She was a godly woman, and I'll never forget some of her little sayings. I'm just going to share some of them real quick today. Don't make that face. It'll freeze in that position. I probably made a lot of funny faces then. Be careful, or you'll put your eye out. I don't know how many times she told me that. What if everyone jumped off a cliff? Would you do it? She told me that a lot of times. Close the door. Were you born in a barn? We lived out by the farms. If you cannot say something nice, don't say anything at all. Do not put that in your mouth. You don't know where it's been. And her favorite one was, because I said so. I don't know if your mother or a woman like a mother. Sometimes when I would not eat all my food on my plate, my grandmother would say, and her favorite saying was, your eyes are like a pelican. They eat more than your belly can. And we had to stay and eat we had to clean our whole plate. The book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom. If you want wisdom, a good place to turn is the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 describes a woman of wisdom, a woman of noble character. What I found fascinating in my study of this passage is that the 22 verses were written in an acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet. The first verse describes the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and goes through the 22 letters of the alphabet. This proverb is used to teach the young their alphabet and possibly to describe the qualities a young man would look for a young woman, or for a young woman, these verses would be the ideal she would strive for. The picture of the woman's role here is striking. The woman, like the man, is expected to use all her abilities. The woman, like the man, is a worker, manager, buyer, and seller. She is as much in business as her husband, and she uses all the mental and intellectual capacities that make her success. This portrait is a picture of an ideal woman, who desires godly character, is an efficient homemaker, a loving helper to her husband, a wise mother, a compassionate community leader with talents and abilities, a woman worthy of honor and praise. This is a fitting conclusion to the collection of Proverbs in that it offers an illustration of one who has mastered wisdom. A woman who fears the Lord, she'll be praised. This is the secret of her life. She fears the Lord and seeks to obey Him. In a resolution, I just want to say that on this day, we celebrate women, and we celebrate the advice that women give. Our So What for today is G. Campbell Morgan had four sons, all of whom were preachers. If you've read any, he was a great preacher, and all of his sons became preachers. And the youngest son, Howard, was probably considered the best preacher. He once took his father's place while Dr. Morgan preached in London. Someone asked Howard that day before he was to preach for his father this question: Howard, who's the greatest preacher in your family? Now, G. Campbell Morgan was a preacher, and his four sons were preachers, and they asked the youngest son, who's the greatest preacher in your family? Without a moment's hesitation, he answered, my mother. Sometimes men and women who never stand in a pulpit preach the greatest sermons simply through living out the living word in their daily lives. Jesus' mother said, whatever he says to you, do it. What a powerful sermon of seven words. Wisdom. The book of Proverbs is filled with the words of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Lord, we just come today and we give thanks for your words. We give thanks for the little seven-word sermon that Mary gave to the servants. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. My question is today, my so what question? What is the whatever Jesus is asking you to do? It may be call your neighbor, write a card, help someone out, open the door, don't be afraid to go out. I don't know. What is the whatever that Jesus is asking you to do? Maybe he's asking you to fill six stone jars with 20 to 30 gallons of water and carry 1,500 pounds somewhere. Now, that's ridiculous, but whatever. He's asking us. He's speaking today. Let us find that wisdom. Let us pray. God of all creation, today is a wonderful opportunity to us for us to listen and pray to you. Speak, Lord, we are listening. In the quietness of these moments, instruct us as we head home from work or wherever we're at. Give us the peace of mind and strengthen us to just do it, whatever it is. Teach us to do whatever it is you are telling us to do. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Whatever is Jesus asking you to do? I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website. TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.